as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What is up, good peoples? What's good with you? It is me, Anthony, the Dashboard Pastor. Welcome. Welcome to the DBP. In fashion to what's been going on, still doing the series, Proof versus Example. This go-round, I want to talk about lifestyle. And with that being said, I'm going to read, and it's a lot, but I'm going to read this. It is James 3, 13 through 17. And it says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find and discover evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is pure of all. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield others. It is full of mercy, the fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Amen, Rod. Hey, Miss Connie. So, all I read... keywords that popped out: being jealous and self-ambitious is demonic. God's wisdom is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and shows good works, right? And so this is the second time in the series which the word gentle came up in a Bible verse. Why is that? Why would God say that more than once? I tend to believe because he means that he wants us to be that. That's me. What a concept. What I want to get at with all of that is, what is your life showing? We're really good at talking, but what is our life showing? Is our life showing that we believe what God is saying? That, you know, and not just when you say, what is your life showing? Let's keep it in the context of this. Does my life show that I am about the wisdom of God, or does it show that I'm about selfish ambition and jealousy? Now, I will say this. Contrary to what I am saying, the world preaches self-ambition and jealousy. The concept of I gotta get mine above all else is selfish ambition. That is a very worldly thing. And there's a lot of areas in the world that if you have that mentality, nobody will fault you for that. In fact, they will encourage that. Jealousy, the same. However, God is saying, that's not me. In fact, those traits are very demonic. And you know, I say demonic, and I can tell there's probably people who probably want to pop off, and I'm done with that. Not demonic like the Exorcist. When the Bible's speaking about demonic stuff like that, it's not speaking about you don't walk around spitting out green pea soup and stuff like that. The fact that God is saying it's demonic, he's saying it's the opposite of him. It's not godly. It's not the Holy Spirit isn't driving these. So, the example of demonic stuff I'm talking about is what just happened. The fact that I am talking about the difference, I'm trying to educate people on what God is saying when he says demonic. And then this cuts out is very much proof. What's up? So there's that demonic stuff again. Give you some wisdom nuggets and then got to cut in on that, but that's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop. All it is saying is demonic. Things that are demonic are the opposite of God. That's what that is what that is saying. So, in the Bible, hello everybody. I appreciate y'all patience. I appreciate you. If you hold on while I'm doing all this, thank you. Apparently what I'm telling you is there's some stuff that needs to be heard apparently. Because the routes are pretty much the same. So how one day it'll be no disruptions and the other day it'll be plenty of disruptions makes you wonder, right? Back to the point. Your lifestyle, how you living, what is your life showing? Is it showing selfish ambition? Is it me, 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 me? Is it me, my four, no more? Is it all of that? And I'm gonna do whatever I need to get to the next level, even at the cost of you. Are you jealous of everything? Why they got this and I don't? How come they got this and I don't have it? How come they get to do this, I don't get to do this? That is another sign. I don't think you jinxed it, Rod. But we're good now. We're going to be good. So, is it about selfishness, selfish ambition, jealousy? Am I mad that people got, like, somebody house bigger than mine, or somebody got a car that costs more than mine, or somebody or whatever? These are the things that this is talking about. And it speaks about being gentle, again, in our interactions with others, because this is how Jesus was telling us to interact. Again, going off of what I said before, Jesus was very compassionate and very meticulous about how he interacted with people. Gentle. There's purpose behind that. It wasn't just being gentle for the sake of being gentle, but we've talked about that. So, I have some questions that came up, and I want people to process this. And again, if the questions hit kind of close to home, then maybe there's something to be thought about. Here's one question. Do you get caught up in the drama that is around you, be it family, friends, work, whatever? Are you a person that is always in the middle of drama? Now, I can hear someone saying, aren't we supposed to be peacemakers? Shouldn't we be in the midst of things like that? That is true. We should be peacemakers. The big difference is peacemakers don't go in instigating. Sometimes peacemakers don't say a word. They're just there to calm the drama, calm the presence of everybody around them. And whether that be speaking, whether that be not speaking, actions, whatever the case may be, peacemakers don't go in with the mindset of adding fuel to the fire. The question I ask, and the people I'm talking about are the ones that's always in the middle of something, and there's always seeming to be some sort of drama revolving around them. I hear you, Connie, so do I. You know, something going on, and I need to be a part of this. I need to be a part of that. I need to be a part of this. And some of that is people being nosy. You got nosy people, and sometimes nosy people stick they nose in stuff that they shouldn't be involved in, and it puts them in a bad spot. It puts them in a bad place. The intention was not to be that, but because they are nosy, they end up involved in that. The other person is the one that has the mentality of, well, my life sucks, so I'm gonna make sure everybody else sucks. Those of you watching know somebody that has that mentality. I'm sure. And some of you might be that person. I'm not pointing fingers. I don't know. I can't see you. If you got mad at that statement, process that. The point is, my aim, my function, who I am, should not be to be in the center of drama. Let's keep in mind, there are things, places that Jesus did avoid. Why did he avoid these places? Why did he avoid these things? Because he understood the concept of, I don't need to be in the midst of all of this drama. There's no need for that. And here's another thought. Sometimes we input ourselves into situations that we only gonna make worse. We have no business being a part of. And now we got people who are mad at us because we stuck our nose in something that we didn't even need to be a part of. The wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit that these Bible verses in James we're talking about, James 3, 13 through 17, if you've forgotten or you just came on after, speaks about wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. The wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit is based upon, of all things, the Holy Spirit. And if you've read the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, 23 and 24, or is it 22 and 23? Read 22 through 24, and you'll get where what I'm going with all of this. Gentle is a part of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience, kindness, love, words like that. Wisdom comes from this mentality. Wisdom is not being in the midst of everybody's drama, talking about this person here, talking about this person, goading this person, getting stuff going. I promise you, that's not a way to keep peace. I promise you. There's a lot of things that I can't promise you, but I can promise you this. If that is the mentality you have, you will not have peace in your life. You will never have peace in your life. If the whole basis of your being is I've heard people who talk about how chaotic things are, how bad it is, how they just want some peace, but they have the mentality of what I'm talking about. Doesn't go together. It's not going to happen. It just. So if you want peace, hear what I'm saying. Do I have more on that, or am I done with that? Yes, I feel like, okay. The next part I have. Do you always feel like you need to be, let me say this one piece, sorry. And connecting what I'm talking about with drama to what I'm, the topic at hand, proof versus example. People in general shouldn't be living that lifestyle where they're the focal point of drama. Where they go, drama goes. Because I will say this, if everywhere you go, there's drama, we have to talk about that. If everywhere you go, there's drama, the only thing that is consistent with that is you. So that's not other people, that's you. So if you are always in the midst of drama, regardless of where you are, you need to think about, well, where's the root of this? So that piece, I wanted to say that. I also want to point out that if you are indeed, nobody should be that in life, whether you are a believer in Christ or not. If you are a believer in Christ, you really should not be living that. You should be proof of the good deeds of God. You should be proof of the gentleness. You should be proof of the love and compassion. So if you are living, if you are a follower of Christ and you are a drama starter, you are an example of why people call us hypocrites. You are an example why people don't want to believe. And you're an example why people say, why do I need that when I got, look at, I can do this without that. So next question. Do you always feel like you need to show that you are running things? Let me see. Now that I'm at this light, I can read it. Do you make sure to tell everyone that you run the show? AKA, you have to have control over everything and everyone. Selfish ambition, that goes under that. The root of that, which is always talked about on the show, is pride. Do you feel the need to exert yourself that everybody needs to know I am running everything? It's me. If you ain't listening to me, you don't got it, you ain't smart, you ain't this. I run this. If you are always trying to point out to people that you are in control, chances are you are not in control. Just saying. If you feel the urge to have to always exert, whether it's with your family, whether it's with friends, whether it's at work, wherever it is, if you always feel the need to have to show who you are, what you are, you most likely are not what you are trying to show. In this case, in control. A lot of people have been stuck on a lot of things because, let's say, certain individuals grew up in place in environments where they had very little control. So what'd they do? They got some form of control and they overexert that control. This is why you have people who get in positions of authority and abuse it. Because they are still dealing with their own issues, and their own issues are getting in the way of them doing what needs to be done in their life. What do I mean by that? No, I'm not gonna go there. That's a whole other topic. Reel that in, because I don't wanna touch that right now. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna say it. This is why we have cops who beat people that, and not just racially. Let's get past the racial aspect of it. This is why we have cops. I myself have been in contact with cops who abused their power, and they went out of their way to let me know that they were an authoritative figure. I never questioned that they were authoritative figure. I never argued that they were authoritative figure, but they felt the very need to show me that they were. Why? Because that is a place of insecurity somewhere. And I'm not saying all cops. I know all cops don't do this, because I know cops that aren't like that. But there's one place. If you are in a place of leadership at your job, and you are always exerting your superiority, quote unquote, that it again is a spot of insecurity. My example, at my job, my team that I lead by compassion. I lead gentle. I lead by inclusion. I ask them their input. I ask them what they think about things. I ask these things. Why? Because the best leaders know when to follow. The best leaders know when to shut up. The best leaders know how to motivate people, and they know you can't motivate people by barking orders constantly and running your mouth and walking, puffing your chest out and walking around. Hey, guess you want to know what? I'm the boss. You will not have a successful team if that is how you run things. I promise you. And I tell you this, if you're an authoritative figure, if you're at a workplace, if you're at a place of a position of power and you can't keep staff, it's not your staff that is the problem. I'm just saying. Do you need to exert your authority? Well, according to the Bible, you shouldn't be. No, you shouldn't exert your authority. This is why I lead the way I lead. This is why I brought up the example of how I lead my team at work. Because I got what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus, who could very well have walked the earth and told everybody he came in contact with, "Do you know who I am? You better bow down, fool." He didn't do that. Why? Because of what I'm talking about. I don't need to exhort myself. I don't need to show you who I am. I need you to find that out on your own. I need you to come to your own conclusion. I need you to come to me, because I gave you free will. And that is why we have free will. That is a part of why we have free will. The people who follow Jesus didn't follow Jesus because he came in and said, "Bow down, fool." They saw a genuine individual that cared about them. That cared about them. Cared about their feelings. Cared about what they were dealing with. Cared about where they were in life. And was gentle in his approach. Now, there were some he was not, at some point he was not as gentle with. But even with Peter, because that's what I'm thinking about, even with Peter, he never was like, "You're an idiot." You know, it was never that. He could have said that. He didn't. The point is, Jesus, who had the right to walk around and brag about who he was and how he was running things, did not do that. Even when they arrested Jesus and the Romans were doing all, beating him and quizzing him, he could have very well at that point been like, "Man, if y'all knew who y'all were messing with, y'all would back off. Do you know who I am?" He didn't do that. He stayed quiet. He had a purpose. He had a, there was a plan. He followed the plan. He could have told them off. I'm the true king. I'm the Messiah. I'm God. Get in line. It's not how he functions. So Christians, that's not how we should function. We shouldn't be walking around talking about, do you know who I am? You better listen to me. Because who are you? In the grand scheme of things, who are you? Everybody who's a boss has a boss. There's always someone bigger than you. You answer to somebody. It may not be, you could be the CEO and you don't have a board, but you answer to somebody. Everybody answers to somebody. So check yourself. Who are you? Listen to yourself. If you feel like I'm always trying to tell you who I am, then I ain't sure who I am. Because why do I always feel like I need to tell you who I am? I pray that people are processing what I'm saying and not hearing, oh man, screw this dude, man. He don't know, he don't know. I do know. You know how I know? Because I was this, the person that I am talking about, I've been that person. I don't know how many times on here I've talked about how I've struggled with self-esteem over my lifespan. So yes, I've been the person who felt the need to exhort when I got into some position of power. Do you know who I am? You better back off me. And was humble. Because God humbles those who exalt themselves and exalt those who humble themselves. That is what that is saying. I'm in the positions I'm in now, career-wise, family-wise, because I humbled myself. I realized that, you know what? My job can function without me. They can find someone else to do what I do. I'm not the end-all, be-all in my position. I know my position. I know how to do my job. But the moment I start thinking it's all about me, it's gone. It's gone. And then what? I have pride? Screw that. What am I going to do with pride? Sit there and suck on my teeth and talking about how people did this and this and that to me. That's not godly. That's not godly. That's not us showing the walk. That's not us showing God's goodness. That's us showing we're petty. We're self-ambitious. We're jealous. Because, a lot of times, I won't say all the time, a lot of times when people go to talking bad about people and, you know, always talking about someone, the individual, why are they doing it? The jealous of that person, most of the time. You find out, if I always got something to say about this one individual, why? Why am I always talking about this person? Especially if I have no contact with the person. And if someone comes to you and is always talking about somebody in a negative light, maybe you should ask, like, do you know why you feel so inclined to always talk about this person? You know, not rudely, gently, as the Bible verses said. But like, do you hear you? Do you understand what you're doing, and do you know why you're doing this? And if you yourself are the person that is doing that, and I'm not condemning you, because again, I've been that. If you are the person that is doing that, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Process. Dang, why do I always talk about this individual? Why am I always so hell-bent on this, that, or whatever? Is it jealousy? Or is it because they hurt me? Which we talked about last week, about forgiveness. So if it's not that someone did me dirty that I need to get past, is it because they got something that I want? And let's be honest, a lot of times when people got something that you want, they did something that you wouldn't do to get that. So instead of being jealous, you should probably pay attention to what they did and see what you could take from that to get your own. That's godly principle. You don't work, you don't eat, came out the Bible. That's paraphrased, but it came out of the Bible. Instead of hating on other people for what they got, what they doing, what's going on in their life, focus on your life. Get your life figured out and fix your life. Jealousy is ugly. Jealousy doesn't hurt the other person. It's the same thing as unforgiveness. In fact, a lot of jealousy comes from unforgiveness, being honest. And if you always jealous of somebody, you mad at them, you jealous of them. Again, it's the same concept as not forgiving. It's you eating poison and hoping that it kills them. And it ain't gonna kill them. Because you know what? Chances are they don't even think about you at all. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking, I wonder if Anthony is thinking about me and jealous of what I have. They're not. They're thinking about them and what they got going on. So instead of us projecting our emotions on other people, let's check ourselves and see why we are acting the way we are, why we are speaking the way we are, why we're doing the things we are doing, to find a root and to move past it. Philippians 3:13, I press forward, press forward. Whew. All right, I think I need to stop. What does that have to do with proof versus example? Come on, I shouldn't have to spell that out. Again, the world shouldn't be reacting that way to stuff. The world shouldn't be having this control, I'm controlling people mentality. Shouldn't. But we can't control what the world does. And so those of us who believe in Christ, if your Savior didn't act that way, and he very well had all authority to do that, then you shouldn't act that way. You should not be throwing your control in the face of your spouse, your kids, your family, your job. You shouldn't be doing that. If you're doing your job right, you don't need to throw that in anybody's face. They know, and they will follow you without you forcing and throwing it in their face. And you know what? That's what you want. You want people to follow you because they believe in what you are saying. They believe that you have the right intentions. They believe in the God in you. Even if they don't believe in God, they're following the God in you. That's what you want. You want people to follow you for that, not because you force it. That's just like forced love. You don't want forced love, which is why God gave us free will. You don't want forced love. It's not genuine. If I tell everybody you have to do this, whatever it is, if you have to love me, and I got a gun to your head and I'm saying, you better love me, say it. You will say it, but it's not like you're sitting there thinking, why this dude has this gun to my head? I truly love this guy. He's such a great person. You're not. You're thinking, I'm going to just tell this dude whatever he needs to do to shut up and leave me alone. And hopefully I'll live through this. Same concept. You don't need to exert your control over people. Praise God, Denise. Right on. So, if you fall into either of the categories that I spoke about today, there's no condemnation for those who live in Christ. So this is not a condemning message. This is a spark that thought process message. Think about it. Is there always drama surrounding me? What can I do to change that? Am I jealous of everybody? Or anybody in particular? Do I feel the need to make sure everybody knows that I'm in control? And if so, why? Ask why to all of these questions. Why? God, show me where this is. He'll show you. You might not like it, but he'll show you. But that'll free you from this. So you're not living in this. So Christians, You shouldn't be living that. We're supposed to be showing him, not him or her. That's not what we're supposed to be showing. We're supposed to be showing him. So, all right. I, as always, I pray to those under the sound of my voice, hear where I'm coming from. I pray that you understand where my heart is, that you hear what God is trying to get through to you, through me. Not that these are my words or my concepts. That he's putting this on my heart to get to you, and that you are willing to receive that. That it will harvest in your heart. That it will grow 30, 60, 100 fold so that it could be applied in life. Because I tell you, if we started showing him more than us, what a better place the world would look like. In the midst of the chaos and crap that we are living in right now, that light is huge. And think about this. If you are in the pitch black in a large area, one little flame brings upon a lot of light. So you living the light shines in the midst of a lot of people, a lot of things around you. And you can only worry about your circumference. Let me back off of that. Only focus on what's in your vicinity. If God gave you this, then focus on this. You don't need to worry about what's going on over there. That's another thing that we tend to do. We tend to try to solve the world problems, and we can't even solve the problems that are right in front of us. That God is like, I need you to focus on this. I need you to fix this. We'll worry about that when we get there. That's another one. That's another wisdom nugget. Didn't have. Focus on where God has you. Let him worry about the big things. And if he puts it on your heart to do one of the big things, then you worry about that. But I promise you, God is not saying to somebody right off the bat, I need you to go bam and do this. He's not saying that. I need you to get you right. I need you to get your family right. I need you to get those in your circumference right. I need you to focus on that. Be the light for these people. And then they will hope, the hope is that they will then be the light for those people. And then they, what is it? I can't quote that. It's from a song, but I can't quote it because anyway, the language isn't there. But essentially it's what I'm saying. One teaches two, two teaches four, four teaches more, and so on and so on and so on. There you go. There's a Tupac lyric, but I can say it like that. The point is, you're here. God gave you this. Focus on this. God, I gotta stop. All right, I love y'all. Have a blessed week. I pray protection over all of those under the sound of my voice. I pray that God be with you. I pray that God guide you. I pray that God provide for you. I pray that God is just what you follow, what you focus on. I thank you for your support. I thank you. Well, let me say in Jesus' name, amen. I thank you for support. If the messages are getting, if they're hitting you, if you're feeling the messages, let's say that, please share them. The world needs to hear what God has to say, not what Anthony has to say. Please share the messages so other people will prayerfully hear the message. And that'll be that one teaches two, teaches four, teaches more. I love you too, Auntie. I love you too, Miss Connie. Y'all have a great week. Peace.